You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Nice to see everybody bright and early this morning. This is daylight savings time now, right? So we're not normal, we're ahead, but it's okay because spring is coming, and I don't know about you, but I'm always, every year, super excited when it starts to get warmer. We were walked around our house yesterday, and there were sprouts of what do we have, tulips? I guess we have a bunch of tulips coming up this year, and so pretty exciting. Hopefully they will endure what's left of the bad weather that's, I think we're still coming. So I'm just doing the handoff here. We've been in a very positive morning, talking about everything that's going on between Jessica's book, which is super exciting. We are going to be reaching the uttermost parts of the earth through Jessica and what our pastors are doing throughout the whole world, and in Casa and Georgia now and Uganda, everywhere. We're reaching the uttermost parts of the earth. So lots of really exciting things going on. But I do want to just pause just for a moment, because I know that in the midst of all the excitement and the goodness that people are still have stuff going on. Tough stuff, too, I know. I woke up probably a week and a half ago, and I was I had realized I'd been going through a long period of time of frustration. And I don't know if you're like I am, but I can be frustrated for a long time, and what's bad about it is I don't know why. And I realized that this was it. Nothing was wrong, but so many things weren't right. You ever get like that? You ever understand what I'm saying? And I think part of it is that, I feel like because of all the great things that are going on and how happy everybody is, and you know how it is when you go home afterwards and you have to face a lot of that it seems like everybody else is living a life on a cruise ship and I'm living a life on a battleship, you know? Or I'm driving around an ambulance, everybody else is driving a sports car, you know? And the idea is that I know that there's struggles. And what's so good, though, is that the big picture of the thing, really nothing's wrong. We're living on a battleground, not on a resort. We need to understand that. And ultimately, somehow, some way, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Does that make any sense? It's the way it's going to be. As Christians, the Bible says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So even though there's a lot of things that aren't right, God holds it all in his hand. We talked about it yesterday morning at the men's meeting, that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So whatever's going on, God's holding back, and he's working over here. We're looking at the big blank spots, but there's stuff going on that's going to come together. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. But I did want to take just a moment. And if you're hurting, if you've got something wrong, or if you're thirsty, let's put it that way. I think a lot of us, the Bible says it's good to be thirsty. It's good to hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you're thirsty, I want you to raise your hand. If you need something from God, there's just some anguish in there in your gut or whatever. I want you to raise your hand. We're gonna have people around you just lay their hands on you. If you're in anguish, you need some help. Let's not go out of here with you in the depths of despair. I'm going to pray. Just lay your hands on those people with their hands up. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you give good gifts, Lord God, and you've come to mend the fences and heal the brokenhearted, Father. You come to deliver and set free the captive, Lord. We ask, Lord God, that you do mighty things, miracles, Father, that you'd place each person with their hand up on higher ground today, Lord God. As they leave this place, they would be in a different state, a different place than they were. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to talk about making disciples today. And again, I'm Bruce Beckstead, husband of Paula, father of Spencer. Spencer was up playing his guitar today. How'd you like that shiny guitar? A lot of bling there, I guess. But so I'm pretty proud of both my wife and my son and all my children. My granddaughters were here, and we were reading the Jesus storybook last night. And I love the way it puts things. I don't know if that yellow book, anybody, you know what that book is? We have a bunch of them around the church here. But we were reading the section about how people in the fallen state are running away from God. They're trying to get away from him. They're hiding, even like Adam and Eve did. They hid right from the start when sin entered in the world. They begin to hide and shrink back and run from God. Yet God is good, and that's what we're talking about today, making disciples. We're talking about preaching the gospel. And what's the definition of gospel? Anybody? Good news. It's good news. We're not under the old covenant anymore where we're trying to measure up and hopefully appease what we consider might be God's attribute of anger and wrath. We are in a place now where we are favored by God. Because of what? Because of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? So it's good news. What we're talking about, what we're going to talk about today, making disciples, it's going to come across a little strong, I think. But keep in mind the value of this. Think about you right now, where you're sitting in your seat. You're there because somebody else preached the gospel to you. You're there because somebody else took a risk and approached you and said, listen, there's a better way. And let's take this a little further. Just think if they hadn't. Just think if you had not heard the gospel and that you didn't have an opportunity to respond, where would you be right now? Think about where you'd be. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty outcome. But guess what? There's a multitude of people out there that need to hear what we're gonna talk about today. We're going to talk about making disciples. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Father, we thank you again. Once again, Father, we ask for your input, your hand, Father, your power today, Father, as I speak what's on my heart, Father, that you would communicate it, Lord God, not just through an audible way, but Father, more than that, in a deeper way, Father, that every heart would be touched today, Father, that we would be changed, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. So we got Isaiah here, and he is in a situation where he sees heaven open up, and the train of God's robe fills it, and the cherub, seraphim, and everything going on. It's kind of like something that It's not normal, right? It's like, I would say, an out-of-body experience. Have you ever, anybody ever have an out-of-body experience? A lot of hands will probably go up, where you're in a different place. It's not normal. And you know, it doesn't happen to me very often. I'm really kind of not a spiritual person. I'm more kind of carnal, I guess. But I tend to not get all up in, even though I go to the prophetic community thing and I'm all about the prophetic, but I'm not really one of those people that is seeking after some kind of experience. But in this case, there's a huge experience happening. And it happened to me once when I was in college. After I got saved, I was in my dorm room one day, and I'll never forget this. Nothing ever like this ever happened to me afterwards, but there was like a dove that came into the room and fluttered his wings right here, right next to me for seemed like 15 minutes. I know it wasn't that long, but it was one of these experiences like Isaiah had here. And the call came from it. And he said, "Who shall I send?" And Isaiah, caught up in the moment, right, said, "Here am I, send me." And how many of you have ever been caught up in the moment and made a response just because it was so outrageous or crazy or supernatural or whatever? It happens to us all the time, doesn't it? When somebody comes across and they can sell something, or there's an opportunity to do, anybody ever say, "I'll do it," you volunteer just out of sheer emotion, or you buy something out of just sheer emotion, and then afterwards you're like, "What did I do?" You know, I mean, we can all think about things, cases like that where that happened, and that's what this case was. It was a case where Isaiah was like, "Whoa, what's going on? There's no way I'm going to say no. I'm going to respond to this. Here am I. Send me." The problem is that there are many voices like that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, there are many voices, and none are without significant. There's so many things shouting and saying this and that, but there's one true voice, right? And I've always been worried about people that would say, "God told me to do this." And I would say, "Whoa, that's pretty heavy." That's one of those caught up moments where you have something. And whenever somebody says that, you just back down, right? Because you're going, how can you argue with that? But then there's a place where we come to the New Testament where things, I believe, change a little bit. So many things happened in the Old Testament that were kind of outside the norm, you know, where a prophet would show up out of nowhere and go through this whole selection process that was bigger than logic, right? So, you know, the book of Acts, they seem to operate differently. It says in Acts 15, it said when they were going to make a decision, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. It wasn't one of these emotional, high-level, spiritual situations, but they actually use this word, "it seems good." So in other words, I'm not sure. Have you ever been not sure about things? Not sure, I believe, is healthy. I don't think it's always good that we're always certain about it. As a matter of fact, if you're certain about everything all the time because you got the facts, you got everything else, it's hardly a place to be able to walk in faith, isn't it? So there's a healthy aspect to being unsure about living our lives. But we come to a place, as they did, it seems good to us and to the Holy Spirit. And that's mostly where I live. I make decisions based on that. I mean, I do pray, but I'm not looking for a sign all the time. And, you know, the Bible says an evil generation seeks a sign. So we got to be a little careful. You know, in the Old Testament, God spoke to us through his prophets. In the New Testament, he speaks to us through his son. And it's much more grounded. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But we take this concept of this calling, who shall we send? And we're going to pull it into the New Testament here. Matthew chapter 22, verses 8 through 10. Let's read this, Matthew 22, verse 8 through 10. And I don't know, Anastasia, are you putting those up? Or so? Yeah, thank you. You are. Probably could just read off that. Matthew 22, verse 8. Says, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So the servants went out to the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. So I would say this is probably more where we are these days. We've gone out to our friends, our families, our neighbors, our coworkers, and we've given them the invitation, and some of them have responded. Others, it's still, the jury's still out, and they're working on it. They're wrestling through, but in the meantime, it seems like we've kind of stopped. We've stopped there, and we said, the invitations are sent out. But then we read this scripture right here, and it says, okay, everybody is invited. Now we've got to go further. We've got to go because this search is now expanded, right? And so go out into the highways. And we've invited everybody, but now we need to go beyond that. We got to step out and go into the highways and the byways. And that's where God is calling us, I believe, right now as a church. I know for me, I spent a lot of years working on friends, family, co-workers, everybody that was close to me, but there's a place for going out. We talked about this earlier with Jess's book going out. We're in Uganda, we're in Colombia, and the idea is to reach the whole entire world. Romans chapter 10, we'll go a little further, we're going to tie this in. Romans 10. Verses 13 through 15. Romans 10. It's tough for me to page through these and find these all the time. Verses 13, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And then we'll stop right there for right now. But so here's the situation now where we've gone from the people that have been invited, those that are close to us, to a whosoever scenario, the highways and byways. And he said, preach to everybody. And it's not, you know, there's this idea out there, this a theological position of predestination. And it is theological. There's scripture that supports it. This notion that people are pre-selected, right, to be saved. And I don't know much about that. I'm telling you right now, that's above my pay grade. Right? And I think that's above anybody's pay grade who would make an argument that there is just numbered people here and there that God already knows. That's God's business, too lofty for me. All I know is that this scripture said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know that we're sent to everyone, to the highways and byways. There's room in the banquet hall, and we're here to call them all, anybody, whosoever will. And I've done studies on predestination versus the whosoever, the Calvinistic version, and there's an even, pretty fairly even mix of scriptures on both sides. So it's probably it's probably all of both. In any event, we're responsible for anybody who's breathing. That's what we are. We don't have to try to figure out if they're called or not. This is our place, is to go out and get as many whosoever will. And what I like about this scripture, it changes things like what I was talking about earlier from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Old Testament, there was just a supernatural situation. this out-of-the-body experience and for Isaiah. But in this case, it's totally opposite of that. It's very logical. He said, we call on God by believing. We believe by hearing. We hear by preaching. And we preach by being sent. It's totally a logical path. Instead of this big emotional happening where, and oftentimes we feel like, God just needs to show me something supernaturally and I'll do it. Well, you know what? We're in a different time than all of that. There's a place and God will do that. Their heavens will open. You'll be shaken to your core emotionally in some cases. But for the most part, we live with our feet planted on the ground. We've got the word of God. We know what to do. We follow what the word of God says, and it's an agreement with the spirit that's within us anyways. So it's an entirely different invitation than that is of the Old Testament. It's logic-based. How are they going to hear unless somebody's sent? I mean, there's just really solid logic there. And so Jesus begins this recruiting process, this job, with this recruiting aspect, with a job description. When he pulled the disciples out and he starts grabbing them two by two or whatever it was, he said, "Follow me and I will what? Make you fishers of men." Exactly. And so how many of you are fishermen in here? All right, we got some. Put your hands high. Fishermen. Okay, we got a picture. Oh, so that's my wife, the one on the right. And that's a pretty big fish there. Yeah. So she caught that. Anybody catch a fish bigger than that? Well, I caught the one. Oh, there's a hand right there. Yeah. I caught the one on the right. She put up quite a fight. But, yeah, so. Isn't that good? Doesn't she have good teeth? Her teeth are really good, yes. Did you know the number one pickup line in West Virginia? Where's John Kessner? Oh, I shouldn't say that? Nathan, should I say it? The number one pickup line in West Virginia. Sherry's shaking her head. Nice tooth. No. Anyways, I'm sorry. We needed a little seventh inning stretch right there. I think I was heavy duty. So let's talk a little bit about fishing. You can leave that up or take it down. I think my wife would like you to take it down, but I would like you to leave it up. But let's talk about some fishing tips. We're not going to go too long today. But let's just kind of make a little parable here because Jesus spoke in parables. Fishing tips, a couple, I think, profound thoughts too. They're written on your handout. And one of them is if you're a fisherman, you're going to go, when you travel, you go somewhere. What do? You pack your pole, don't you? Just in case. You want to have it ready, right? And most people that are really fishermen, when they go on vacation, wherever they go, they got that pole in the back. So just in case, they can drop a line. So I'm going to say from a spiritual standpoint, when we're fishing for men, because that's what God's calling us to do, always have your pole with you. In other words, always be ready. And so you're not always going to talk to everybody all the time, but you're going to be ready to fish. And you're going to, when you walk up to somebody in Walmart or at school or at work or whatever, and you're having just a normal conversation around the water cooler, you may not bring up the Lord every single time. Probably if you do, it might be a little strange. But you are going to be ready. You're going to have your fishing pole with you. You're going to be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that lies within you. That's in the Bible. That's a scripture. So we have our pole with us all the time. Number two, you lure the fish to you. Basic principles. You need a pole to fish, and you need lures, right? So you lure the fish to you. And our primary lure is love, right? We draw people through love. And my story of being saved started when I was in ninth grade. There was a couple named Ron and Janice Measurel. And Ronnie, you know them. A lot of people know them. And the Wares know them. And they kind of took me in when I was in ninth grade. Ron had a Yamaha TT500 motorcycle. And most of you don't know what that is. Anybody who does know what that is, you're cool. And he would ride that motorcycle, ride a wheelie down the road. And that was so impressive to me because I was just getting into dirt bikes. And when you're a kid and you're into dirt bikes, that is all that there is in this world, right? And so I saw that and I was immediately drawn to that. And we became friends. And I would go to their house. This is ninth grade. This is 14 years old. And I began a relationship with them. And one thing they did, which was so awesome, is they opened up their lives to me. They opened up their house. And this went on for 5 years before I became saved. This is making a disciple. This willingness to open up your house. And this is the profound thing. An open house is an open heart. Okay? Remember that. If you are willing to open your house up to people, and there are people that have done that very effectively for years, the Laramies. How many of you have been in the Laramies house? Some of you, the younger generation, you grew up in the Laramies. That was your second home. And their house was open. How much food do you think, Michelle, you've served? If you, just by weight, thousands and thousands of pounds of, and that an open house is an open heart. Open up your house through your love. That's the lure. Your home, what God has given you, open your house up to people. And so that's what Ron and Janice did. And, you know, Janice never preached to me. She was the one that was making the cookies or whatever it is and just loving. And, you know, there's making disciples isn't just about preaching. So I'll give you the picture of this. In 1962, President Kennedy went to NASA. And he was there for a tour. Very important people, I'm sure, were surrounding him. And they were in the middle of a tour. And right past them walks a janitor with a broom. And the president was like, what's going on? So he stopped everything. And he went over to the janitor and he said, I'm Jack Kennedy. What is it that you're doing? He says, oh, I'm helping to put a man on the moon. And oh, that changes everything. This person who was walking around with a broom at NASA knew and understood the big picture. What he was doing ultimately was the support system for getting a person on the moon. So I don't want to belittle anything that is done in the house of God. What you're doing, Raj and Joycey, they're the highlight of this month for serving. They serve communion. There's so many people that do so many things. But we all know the point where it all heads to our souls and lives, right? And it's all part of the bigger purpose. So if you're pushing a broom, or you're standing up here with notes, fumbling around, wondering how it's going to go, right, Billy? Where's Bill? whatever you're doing, you do it as unto the Lord and not to men. And that's building the kingdom of God. So that's number two, lure the fish to you. Number three, forget the net. You're going to use a pole, right? The Bible says Jesus left 99 to go after one. We do this one at a time. This is my profound thought. Don't think 99, think one. Think one. And so when you go out in the day, I'm going to win the world no. When you go out, there's one person waiting for you. There's one person that that you're going to come across that you're responsible for. And that's when you stop and you do your thing. Your pole goes out then. You're looking for one fish at a time. Think one. Think one. There are works prepared in advance for you, each of you and me, for this day, March 10th, 2024. When we leave here, there are things teed up for us to walk into, the Bible says. And that's building the kingdom of God, making disciples. Amen? Page 4, almost done. So I want to just talk quickly in closing of John 15. Let's read John 15, verses 1 through 8. How do we do this? What's the most effective way to be disciples or to make disciples? So John 15, is that after Luke or before Luke? It's after, yeah. John 15, 1 through 8. And here it is. Jesus is talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them to throw them into the fire. And they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And then verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. First of all, abiding in Jesus, and this comes up several times just here, it's directly tied with answered prayer. How many of you are frustrated to no end because your prayers aren't being answered? You're hitting a ceiling when you pray. Check to see if you're abiding in him. And we abide in him. That's our responsibility. And I think the first place to demonstrate that you're abiding in Jesus is through attending church. I've always been a church person, and I look around, and there's others in here that are the same with me. Ron, you've been here longer than I am. I have, and there are so many people that are believers in being at church and serving, like we were talking about, either whether it's with a broom or with a microphone, whatever, it doesn't matter. And so that's our job, is to stay grafted in, abiding in Jesus. That's his job. That's our job. So we're committed, even though the clocks turn ahead, we're going to get there on time. We're going to come. This is important. It's very important that we're here, right? And his job in the midst of the whole thing is pruning. How many like that process? If you bear fruit, guess what? God's going to applaud and say, yay, you bear fruit. Is that true? That's not based on what we said. He's going to prune you so you bear more fruit, which again is good, because what is fruit? Fruit ultimately are souls, people that are broken. People like you and me that had, if somebody didn't tell me, if Ron and Janice hadn't taken me into their house for 5 years, I don't know where I'd be right now. I don't know where. It could have been really bad. And so don't be very careful about judging your life in terms of how hard it is as being a Christian. Be careful about that. So yeah, there's a lot of little things wrong, but so much is excellent. And our names are written in the book. And we're going to heaven. And we have an opportunity to bring so many people with us. And it starts today. So there's a scripture in Luke chapter 10, and it talks, I won't go there, but it talks about Jesus sending them out in twos. And in verse 1, then he goes through the whole thing. Don't take this with you. Watch out for this. Do this, do that. And then in verse 17, they come back rejoicing. So this is the place. If I had authority, which I don't, where's Mason? Somebody like Mason has authority. There he is. He could tell you to do this. I would say, all right, go out in twos right now and come back here at 2 o'clock and tell me how things go. And it would be just incredible. But I will say this. We're not going to do that, but I will say this. Go out. Do go out. Come back next week and let us know how you did. Bring your fishing pole with you. Lure people through love and do it one at a time. Amen. Can you do that? I'm gonna try more and more. And I you know what? God's plan for each of us is to finish our course. And this is it. Bearing fruit, making disciples. That's the course that God has for each of us. And there's not one person in here who can't finish your course. You don't have to worry about what am I going to say on the day when I stand before God. Because you'll know, just like the Apostle Paul said, I have finished the race. I've completed my course. And that's available for every single one of us. So go and bear fruit. Amen. Justin.
That's so good, Bruce. Why don't we all stand? I have some folks that are going to come up to the front that would love to pray with you. If you would love to follow Jesus today, if you've never given your heart to God and you're listening to what we're talking about and your heart is stirred and you're wondering, how do I even respond? I have some folks that are going to be up at the front on the right and the left that would love to pray with you. You can follow Jesus today. And if you need some prayer, and I think, who doesn't need prayer? if you would like somebody to pray with you, they're up here as well. We just want to have a moment. We're gonna sing one more song. But we want to have a moment where we can respond, where you can respond to Jesus today, where we can do that together. We can pray with one another. We can receive prayer for whatever you're going through today. After this song, there's going to be some tables in the back. We have some folks, it says it on the back of your handout, we have some folks that have prepared some taste from the countries that we are talking about this month. And so there's some treats that are going to be back there. We're going to be able to taste things from Colombia, from Georgia, from Uganda. So that's back there after this. But just take this moment to respond, to sing, and just worship our Creator. God, we thank you for what you are doing. God, we thank you for how you've drawn us. We thank you for how you said in John 12:32 that you are drawing all people to yourself. Every person on this planet, we know that you are reaching for. Holy Spirit, you are drawing on people's hearts, God, so that they can know life, they can know freedom, they can have chains be broken off. How Paul told us in Colossians that you are reconciling everything. And so our job, as Bruce so said it so well, our job is to go and partner with you how you are drawing all people, and we get to go out and minister to people, to share our story with people, to share the good news of life with people in our path. God, help us to do that. Come on up if you want to receive prayer. Come on up. There's some people here, and let's sing this song together.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.